We'll just sing one small mantra before we start. Sahana bhavatu, sahanau bhunaktu, sahaviryam karavavahai, tejasvinavadhitamastu mavidvishavahai. Om shanti shanti shanti. Oh, good morning. How are you? No soccer today.
Yes.
He's soccer dad. Double soccer dad. Two of them. So Shri, Michael's first time. He's never heard about Bhagavad Gita. So in a few words, tell him from your perspective what we've learned so far. What do you say in a nutshell Bhagavad Gita? In a few words, just.
So it's teachings from Krishna in the form of he's taking the form of assisting a warrior Arjuna who has to go to battle to defeat his half brothers. I think there's about hundreds of them.
I should clarify, I was familiar with the Oppenheimer quote.
Okay.
Right, so I know that's very, like, mainstream, but...
Oppenheimer quote?
So, you know, they asked the man who created the atomic
bomb,
and he's said that. He remembered a line from the Bhagavad Gita where Vishnu is trying to defend the prince, and he takes on his multi-armed form and says, "Now I've become death, the destroyer of worlds." And he said that everyone maybe felt that way in one form or another.
Okay.
So, you know, I kind of had that quote in the back of my head.
Okay.
But, you know, I realize that's maybe just a single
Line
from
one,
a whole body. Right.
Yeah, exactly. So, good point. There's one line from...
It's one feather from this huge pillow.
Yeah, exactly. So. Exactly. So what do you say in the nutshell? Then what is it? The essence of, what is the essence?
The essence is to sort of reflect on, you know, the I, right? Like when you say I, you know, is it the body, is it the mind, is it the greater being, right? And, you know, what's kind of the purpose, right, in terms of what do we have to do in life? In this case, Arjuna had to go to battle. You know, how do you look at your duties, whatever you have to do in your life, in terms of, you know, what you're doing versus, you know, what's the essence of who you are. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that helps.
Yeah, good. Very nice. So what happens is, you know, we're all here, right? Mm-hmm. We have no question we're here. But then why are we here? What to do, right? Why to do? Why do we do anything? Why do we do it? You know, why you got up in the morning, what for? Right? Of course, you say, well, the body woke up. You know, the body made me get up and use bathroom and this. I was hungry, so it made me eat. Okay, nature does its thing. Okay, fine. But I'm not... You know, the wind is blowing and, you know, the earth is spinning in this, it's doing it, but it's not thinking, why do I have to do? Because it didn't have to get up in the morning and decide to do something. So we're conscious beings, we make some decisions and everything. So we're doing it, we're motivated. Why are you motivated to do? What for? So, why do you do anything? And so the interesting thing is, why is that important also? We're wanting to do something, but so much of the time, it's like the animals are doing things, but they're just doing, they have no problem. But we are very frustrated a lot of the time we're trying to do. Do you see animals frustrated when they're trying to do? They're not frustrated, they're just doing their thing. But we have a lot of frustration, right? And we're very happy and then we're very sad in this. Why? And what are we looking for? Because what happens is we live our life and we don't look into these more deeper important things. It's more a shallow thing. Yes, I want to be happy if I'm going to, you know, get this good job and this and nice family, this, okay, then everything will be okay, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with, you know, we have to go through and do what we need to do and everything like this. But what happens is, but when we're doing, trying to be fulfilled. That's in why we want to be fulfilled, right? You do so if you think that something won't bring you some fulfillment, you're not going to do it. No, you're not going to do it no matter what, right? You don't want somebody who's working very hard, they don't like the job they don't want, but they know, well, they have to pay rent and they have to support family, and that's their duty, and not doing duty, they won't feel fulfilled and everything. So they're doing also because even that for fulfillment. So we want to be fulfilled. Okay, very good. Do you know anybody that's fulfilled? Just content. I know some people, very, very few. Right now, alive, there are two I can say I know for sure, I have no question about. Just fulfilled like this, it's very rare. But what happens is then we think that I'm going to do something and I'll gain fulfillment. We do gain fulfillment, but we gain some fulfillment. And some fulfillment, but then afterwards, again I feel just like hunger, right? I just had some tea and toast, it was very nice. Now after a few hours, we'll finish the classes, and again I'm going to feel, oh boy, I'm hungry again. So a temporary fulfillment. So we're running after things, wanting to be very much fulfilled, but we're fulfilled to a certain extent, and then it goes, and then I want fulfillment again. But we want to be fully, you know, eating, we know there's no solution to that other than, you know, eating 2-3 times a day and be done. We can't, that's something physiologically, it's physiological. But this is emotional, psychological. So I want to be psychologically fulfilled, but we only find it very, for brief moments, and that's it. And that's really what we want from everything we're doing. So meaning that we're not doing it in the, you know, it's not the right means, it seems. Otherwise, doing something, have a nice family, have a nice job, I should be fulfilled. But, again, you guys are young in this, it's not running away from that. Running away from that won't help also. If somebody runs away from and just sits somewhere else, they bring that unfulfillment with them too. So that doesn't help. When I was, 18 or so, after high school, a friend of mine, he went to Europe for vacation. And he came back and he said, look, I went away, the most beautiful places I visited, but when I was there, I noticed my same silly mind was there with me. So meaning running away doesn't solve it. Because you go away like this, you bring your mind with you. The problem's in the mind, it's not in the external circumstance. You know, changing external circumstances, some things there's nothing wrong with, but that's not what's going to, you know, solve the essential problem, essential issue. So this is about that, this is that essential problem, how to deal with that. And the regular education, regular thing we're doing doesn't totally do it. We even say the regular religion also doesn't do it, because the regular religion, it can give somebody faith. But faith still, I still don't know, but I'm holding on to, so that gives me fulfillment. So it helps a lot, but it doesn't go to the bottom of the problem because still, it's a faith, it's not, no, I know, I'm not on my own fulfilled. Depending on this faith, I feel fulfilled. But that faith can get shaky, and then where's my fulfillment? Right? There are a lot of people very religious, then the son dies, God forbid, or something. Why'd you do that, God? This. I won't worship you because of, or whatever. So faith, again, there's nothing wrong with, but that's not, doesn't fully solve the problem. Yes, and after I die, then the God will take me there. We don't know. You know, we can only assume. So that also helps to give sense of fulfillment, but it doesn't give complete fulfillment, we can say. So that also doesn't totally solve the problem. It helps solve a lot of problems, and no doubt, but it doesn't solve everything like this too. So here it says, well, then what? Then the issue of Vedanta looks into that issue very closely. This is what it does. And what happens is, the nice thing with Bhagavad Gita is it discusses two aspects that are important. And actually right now in this chapter, and when we start the next chapter again, it'll go into this very much, because these are the two important aspects. One thing is, you know, the main thing, the essence, is, okay, when you're fulfilled, what, you know, you're fine. You're just content within yourself. You don't need anything. What do you mean by unfulfilled? Unfulfilled meaning there's some desire. I need to get this done, then I will be fulfilled. That's what a desire is, right? That's what a desire is. Now I'm not fulfilled. I'll finish this, I'll be fulfilled. Now, let's say when that desire comes up, I disregard. I don't take it. I'm fulfilled, right? So the desire itself, meaning it's something that's taking me away from my own fulfillment. So Vedanta says, you're fulfilled by nature, but your mind is making you not see it like this. Somehow your mind makes it seem that you're not. And it's very simple when, you know, when you don't listen to your mind when you're quiet inside. You said you've practiced yoga. When the mind is a little quiet, what do you need? So the issue is that we get caught up in this game of the mind. That's what happens. And we identify with all this in the mind. When we learn not to get caught up in it, we're totally fine. So what does it mean if you're really by nature fulfilled? Well, unfulfilled mean I feel limited by something. I feel if something, then I'll be fulfilled, I'll feel full. So it says by nature, you're in essence, you are full. There isn't the all limitations are just due to my identifying with the mind that it has some whims and fancies. That's really it. And there's a lot of analogies in many ways, and it's not that I need to get to somewhere or something in order to see that, because it says that's by nature, that's what I am. And it points out also, look, every night when you have sleep, when you have deep sleep, what do you want or need? So when you drop your identification with your body and your mind, oh, you feel so full and you love to do so. That's why, you know, people don't like to get up in the morning. They want to stay there. Okay, enjoying the deep sleep, because then I feel full. Because then I drop my limited ideas like this, okay? So this is where it says, look, so by nature, you're that fullness, that by nature. So this is one thing, one aspect which it discusses, which is Vedanta, which is whole scientific way of learning too, and scientific in the way that it's not faith-based, but it's, you know, observable, just like it's really scientific. This is how science and religion runs together, but since the scientific side of it in many places is broken off, just the faith start remained, and now it remains, the unscientific part stays in general. I'm speaking in general, it's not, you know, not as a criticism in anybody. Everybody does what they think is best, no problem. So like this, so because it is a very scientific thing, that just like science means, if you do it in a certain way, there are certain results. We've seen that. Here also, Vedanta says, you learn to observe, understand in a certain way, you'll see for yourself, like that. But here, of course, you can only see for yourself. I can't measure your fulfillment, can I? I can assume, but I can't measure it. So in this way, it's scientific, but you have to observe in yourself. Can't observe anywhere else. So this is one thing. So it says, you are Atma, you're the consciousness, which is not limited. And this, but that's what I'm looking for, but I'm looking for in the wrong place. That's why I'm not finding it in this way. So that's one aspect. Now then, okay, this is one thing, but now what about everything in my life? I'm caught up in all this stuff. Like the story in the Bhagavad Gita, it's taken from the Mahabharata, a much larger text, where in the middle this war is going to happen, and it's in a way where it's inevitable, you know. Let's just say, for example, that one of the people running for president will do a coup and take over the country by force. The other one, who rightfully wins in this, what will be their duty? Right? So like this. Like an example like this was in Venezuela not long ago. Somebody else won, I don't remember the name because a few years ago, and the one held onto power and did this. And he and the people are starving, there are many problems. So what is his duty? He tries everything, he tries a peaceful solution, can't. There's no other solution. So it's that kind of situation here. So it takes, it gives an extreme example where, okay, there's conflict, we have conflicts, and the conflicts are more within me than the external conflicts are in the end, because within me, if I don't have conflict inside, I will do things. Maybe some of the things also, you know, will externally have some conflict, but internally no conflict, I won't feel it's a conflict, I'm just doing what I need to do, right? Parents ground the child, they might not feel it's a conflict, what they need to do. They got into some trouble, okay, the person needs to learn and grow, so something has to be done. They're not feeling a conflict or this, let's say like this. So in this way, so here it's taken, given the most extreme place that it is, most extreme example, put the most extreme thing, and so that it can be drawn very clearly. So here that thing, where the cousins and this are very unrighteous, take over the kingdom, causing so much trouble, the righteous ones, then okay. It's their duty to, they try every peaceful means to do, they can't, so there's no other way other than fighting like this. So it gives that one. But then, of course, due to attachment to relatives, everything on the side, Arjuna is the main character here. Okay, how am I going to fight? He's ready to fight. He fights many battles. And here, it's a righteous war he has to do. But then there's the conflict because, okay, what am I going to do? If it's not the cousin, no problem. It's not cousins, actually. He's angry at the cousins. It's other teachers there and great-grandsire there. That's the problem he has because of them there. But the thing is, it's his duty. Like this. So in this way, that conflict. So the internal conflict. So what happens is, again, if it was somebody else there, we would fight, no problem. Just like the surgeon, no problem, we'll do the surgery, but his or her relative, okay, I can't do it. The judge feels they, you know, knows somebody, or a friend of theirs, one of the defendant or something, okay, I can't do, somebody else has to do because I can't be objective. So it's not that the judge can't do it, the surgeon can't do it, it's their attachment that's causing the problem. So here then it says, okay, well, my mind is so caught up in these things, how am I going to even look at who I am behind all these layers? Because I'm so caught up in everything else, how am I going to look into it? It says, well, your lifestyle can help you to prepare the mind. Like this. The lifestyle meaning turning your life into yoga. Because people think of yoga here nowadays as, right, stand on your head or stretch a little and do a few breaths and sit a few minutes like this. That's what they think of yoga. One part of the practice, one thing. Right? It's like somebody thinking of science as, you know, being in the lab with a few test tubes and mixing a few things in and very cool with a nice lab coat. That's what people think. It's literally that analogy what people think of yoga now. Like, I have bad shoulder now. Now found it's frozen shoulder. Oh, he must be very bad at yoga. He can't do his asanas now. This, you know. It's one small aspect in this. Asanas so many years. What's the big deal? A few months I won't be able to do. Okay, what's the end of the world? So like this. So in any case, so karma yoga, how I'm doing actions all my life, how do I change them into yoga when I'm doing? When I'm doing the action, why is it not balanced? Because I have expectation how it'll come out. I'm doing something, what will he say about it? What will these people think about it? Will it be successful or not? I'm all caught up in these things. So then because of that, my mind is just disturbed all over the place. But if I just do it because as best needs to be done. Results, I don't, you know, whatever comes out, I can't control anyway. I'll have some input, but it's not fully under my control. Mm-hmm. So one of the ways it's said here, okay, so you offer the results to the God, Because meaning, I can't control. Something else bigger is going to bring the result, not just me. My effort will do something, but it's not going to do everything because I don't have control over everything. Here, I made wonderful vegetable beds, put the right things in, put sprinklers that keep away the cats and the squirrels. It's doing wonderfully this year. And even there's netting underneath that doesn't let the gophers in. But the bin's a little old. So some gaps must have built up, so now two of them have gopher. One of them, all the plants disappear, ate the roots. What to do? I can't control all the results. So the thing is, you can do everything, but the results aren't in your hands. You do your best, and then like this. So if now I'm going to sit here and get all angry at the poor gophers, they're just living their life, doing their thing, right? I can put some trap there, but I looked online. To trap them, really, it's practically impossible without killing them, so I can't do that. So I prefer let them eat everything. I wouldn't do that. So, you know, I can do, okay, these ones, put some net around the roots. Later on, fix and put better, you know, fix bins with better nets and do it again. But I can't control it. But I can get all upset about it, right? I'll be upset about it because of my attachment, because of my expectation that it'll be in a certain way. So karma yoga means how to live your lives, to learn how to live your life in this way, that you're doing the things best you can without expecting certain results. Because then you're freeing yourself from, you're helping to give wiggle room, free yourself so you can look more deeper into yourself and what this is pointing out. So this is what it is. So Bhagavad Gita both teaches about karma yoga, how to deal with the world in practical ways like this. And secondly, about Vedanta or jnanam, understanding, how to look and understand yourself like this. This is what it's teaching like this. And of course, what happens is, as you said, taking one feather out. So it's kind of like somebody will say, let me take a few classes in this. And like somebody will say, okay, let me go and go for a few physics classes. Now I'm going to really know. You know, somebody's studying, you know, many years physics, and somebody comes, takes a few classes. Yeah, now I kind of see what you guys are doing. I got it. You know, I'm going to do something else. I really got physics now. So it takes a little bit to look into, of course. Just like I'll go learn physics, I'll need a lot of patience to really understand all the concepts and everything. So this also, one needs patience. But of course, if one takes a few things, like somebody comes to one yoga class and they learn deep breathing, and they put that into practice, it can make a huge difference in their life. So even from here, if we take a few concepts and we put into practice, it can make a huge difference in our life also. So that there's no doubt. So that, no question about. But then also for deeper understanding in this, it takes some time. Like what Himaja was saying, yes, that you know, learn to see things in a very different way. To learn to see something a different way takes some time. Because of our conditioning. We're so used to seeing in our conditioning to see differently, to see differently takes a lot to do, especially it's being pointed out in a certain way. And I'm also used to seeing, why should I see in that way? Like this. Why should I let go? My idea is very good. Well, this is actually a very big thing in Vedanta. It says, okay, the way I see the things as an individual is built on my mind, my identification as an individual. Who are you in your deep sleep? Tell me. When you're in deep sleep, who are you? Who are you in your deep sleep?
I don't exist.
But you were in the deep sleep. You know you had a deep sleep. Otherwise, you'd say, what do you mean by deep sleep, right? Mm-hmm. Meaning you were there, but your mind was gone. Body was gone, but you were there.
Mm-hmm. Your true self.
You say, I had a deep sleep, but when you're awake now, it's as though you weren't there. So it's like a paradox, right? But you are there, meaning you know yourself without body and mind. So as pure existence, you're there without body and mind. But my identity is based on my ideas, meaning I'm body and mind. My identity I take in myself. And that's how I see everything. So this is saying, yes. That's like seeing through one lens, but you're not that view through the lens. You're something beyond that lens. But you're so used to seeing through here, so learn to see beyond this. That's what it's helping to do. That's why it takes a lot to look through. One of the greatest Vedanta teachers I know, he was a scientist, Swami Tattviranandu Ji had a PhD in chemistry. Like this. He also has a PhD in Sanskrit. He's a great scholar. So he says it's a Copernican revolution, which is exactly like that. Because we're so used to seeing in one way, that everybody is used to saying sun is going around the earth. So I'm so used to I'm this limited person and I'm aware. But it says, no, you're the awareness. And, this limited person is just something you're aware of. You're aware of it, but you're identifying with. I'm aware of the basketball game or the elections or something, and I'm identifying with a part of it. I'm aware of it, but I'm identifying with it. Meaning that although I'm sitting here and they're on the court, actually they're on the TV, doing whatever they're doing, and then, in this way. A lot of people are very happy, so a small amount of people celebrating USA beat Pakistan in cricket. For USA, what is that most people? But for the cricket world, which is larger, they said actually, the cricket world, people watching is more people than watch Super Bowl. So the biggest sports event in the world is not the Super Bowl, it's the Cricket World Championships. But USA sees things from its angle. So this is a big thing. Very low team beat one of the top teams. Amazing, right? Like this. So if I'm sitting there watching it on TV or on the court and I'm cheering, wow, USA this, and I'm just watching the game, but I'm identifying with one side because I happen to be living here and happen to identify with that, like this. But really speaking, I'm just watching it. I'm aware of that. So I'm aware of this arm. I'm aware of the shoulder. Oh, poor me, shoulder in this, right? I'm aware. It's not hurting this moment, don't worry. I've just had to be a little careful. It's not the end of the world. So I'm aware of it. Now I say, I'm aware of the pain. I'm aware of the shoulder. I say, I'm in pain, poor me, my shoulder. I'm aware of it. So as awareness, I'm just aware of it. But I identify with it, that's where the problem comes. So this is what happens. So learning to see differently like this takes a lot of patience. But it helps to free myself from so many ideas and eventually frees from all the limitations. That's why there are probably many like this, but it's rare still. Just like certain geniuses in certain fields, great geniuses are rare, but they exist. So people that are masters in this are rare, but they exist. So the two that I have no question about being like this, I've seen them, I've spent time, content and happy and loving in this, no problem. Because, understanding, I have because of this understanding, like this. So in this way, that's what this does, helps to point this out. Okay, so that's what it's about. So since we have been studying and moving forwards in it, let's just take this one verse here that we've reached in our studies, which is in this chapter, you have chapter 4 to the right, it's number 38. I don't think we did that last time. So we'll look into that. And this is after a whole discussion. Let's read and then say a little bit about the discussion where it reached and then see where this fits in. So first we'll read in the Sanskrit, the original, that's why. Nahi jnanena sadrisham. Nahi jnanena sadrisham. Pavitramiha vidyate. Pavitramiha vidyate. Tat swayam yoga samsiddhaha. Tat swayam yoga samsiddhaha. Kalenatmani vindati. Kalenatmani vindati. Indeed, there is no other purifier in this world like knowledge. Prepared through yoga, one attains that knowledge of the mind easily in time. So, in this chapter, it has discussed about how the knowledge and karma yoga come together. Because the chapter is jnana-sanyasa yoga. How one renounces actions through knowledge. Renouncing meaning, learn to disidentify. Like you watched the sports game, but you just said, oh, they did well, oh, very good, nice. Oh, they didn't do okay. What to do? The other team did very nice, good. Like this. That you're there, but okay. So how I do the actions, how though I'm doing the actions, I free myself from them like this. That I'm free that okay, it's done, but it doesn't bind me. Because the action is binding me because I'm caught up in. So here, this chapter is all about that. And no worries, as much as we discussed this for so many weeks on end, and so many details, Arjuna is being taught by Krishna, doesn't totally get the gist of it and asks a question. Next chapter, we'll go into it again from some of the same points, some from other angles. So if we can, you're confused, you just started, fifth chapter is going to be, you know, restating in some of the same ways, some different ways. That's the nice thing about it. Kind of like if you go to a soap opera in the third year, fourth year, well, how did this thing went? And it slowly falls into place and you can follow the story. So here you join, you know, no worries. Slowly everything gets filled. So that's the nice thing about this, about studying this. If you missed before, it's okay, it'll work. So in any case, up to now, that's what was discussed in this chapter, right? That about this. And one of the most important points was about this thing that you're aware, just like you are aware of the body. I'm the one who's aware of the body. I feel the body means I'm aware of it. I say I'm that sensation, but I'm the one who's aware of it. Just like I see the table, am I the table if I see it? I don't become the table, right? Oh, there's a scratch on it. Oh no, what's gonna happen like this because I identify with it. It was white some years ago. For my does Indian classical dance. So some performance, one of the parents that set things up for the altar there had painted it and put this to put there. So it became this, you know, golden with this thing. Okay, what to do? Let it be. So, oh, my table became this color. Oh, no, it has scratches. That's the identification. But I'm seeing the table. I'm aware of it. Does the table touch me? No. I'm aware of it. So what I see is not me. I'm aware of it. I'm aware of seeing also. I'm aware of seeing them, you know. I was aware of very clear text, now I'm aware of blurry text, right? That's why I have, you know, my weapon here. So I'm aware of the table, I'm aware of seeing. So now I'm aware of touch, meaning I'm aware of sensation. And let's say it's numb, I'm aware of no sensation. So I'm aware of the body. I say I'm the body, but I'm aware of the body. It's different, like this. Same thing, I'm doing action. Are you doing action? You're aware of doing action. That's even more subtle. But really, to do an action, the mind is involved. Impression from the past is involved. Desire to do something is involved. So many things involved. But you as awareness, you're just aware of it. This is, because if you take all the other things together, I'm aware of everything, that too. So when you do action, it's not. Now this is something that we look into, meaning just like you study with the example we gave, the physics, you go and something is kind of unclear. How can it be that the photon, it can be a wave or it can be a particle, depends on how you observe it. Doesn't make sense. Well, you know, stick around, take these few courses, it'll be clear. So in this way. So that means you have some faith that the teacher will point it out. But the faith is pending my understanding. Here too, faith in what it's teaching, pending that I'm going to understand, because I have to follow it, otherwise how am I going to do it? So it's pending. So pending that I understand. But then the bottom line is understanding. To understand that I'm not the doer, I'm not the one doing the action. As a conscious being, I'm not the one doing the action. The mind, the emotions, the intellect, the body, the energy, all these are doing action, yes. But I, as a conscious being, no, not doing the action. Again. And again, the Vedanta, that's why the Karma Yoga is brought in here, the action, because it's not running away from responsibility, body, mind, and this, yes. As an individual, I have responsibility. As awareness, what do you have as awareness? There isn't any responsibility, because awareness is aware, is just aware. As that part of me which is the awareful being, like this. Because it's kind of like taking two different paradigms. So somebody who mixes and says, well, if you're just the awareness, you know, what about your responsibility of things? You know, you can just be careless. He says, no, it doesn't work like that. It's kind of like saying, you know, you mix two totally different things, different paradigms, and everyone's like, well, if you're working well in the office, how can you also be a good person at home, parent at home? You're a parent at home, you're taking care of family. How can you mix, you know, how come that? Yeah, two different things. It does, they don't go together. It's two different places like that. So how, you know, why? So they're different things about myself. Those are, but they're, you know, overlapping. These are two different roles that I'm playing. That's all you're, example, a nice example they gave. There's Mr. Biden. Mr. Biden is a parent, husband, parent, grandparent in this. And Mr. Biden is president, like this. Are they conflicting? No, two different roles. Actually, I remember when Obama got in, like certain time of day, after a certain time, he was home. That's it, family. Had a nice balance, like this. I'm sure, you know, if phone was there, they would bother him so much and he'd have to come back, whatever. But he did his best to balance, like this. Two different roles. So here are these two roles that I'm a responsible individual as an individual being, and I'm the conscious being that is not involved. They're like that, like the president and family takes care of family, but also takes care of country. So as the awareful being, I have nothing to do with any action. Nothing whatsoever. As an individual, I have my responsibilities, but they don't conflict like this. There might be some conflict. Here, actually, in the end, there isn't a conflict when we look at it deeper. But in any case, so here it's saying here, nothing is purifying as knowledge as understanding. The reason this is saying is, all other means that we use, like the karma yoga, which was talked about. Karma yoga, okay, I'm serving, I'm doing things very selflessly. I'm not having negative feelings. Before maybe I judgmental is now my judgmental is the way I accept people more. Let me just give you know, these ideas. Before I would get angry in this, now it's I'm not getting angry, like this. So my mind is in a better place. So my heart is much more pure, caring. That's very good. But the thing is still things are, as an individual, things are still thrown at it. And still things will stick to and still it'll take, I can't be totally as an individual, that can't be completely, I can't 100% as an individual, always some issues will come up like this. No matter what I do, still it has the potential for some problems, some impurity, if we want to call the mind, to come up like this. So it can't completely solve everything. So again, many good things I can do to make the mind a more peaceful place, like this, very good. That's what yoga for that. But the understanding totally fixes. That's why it's the most purifying, because let's say you're in the dream, you're having a nice dream, or not as nice dream, whatever it is, hopefully a nice dream. How, no matter what you're in the dream, there's still some problem, some issue. You can't have zero issue, something. Now, you can do many things in the dream to fix the issues. You can fix them very nicely, but there's still potential for some issues. When you know it's a dream, when do you know it? When you wake up. That's the dream is gone because you falsified it by seeing it's a dream. Now, what can anything in the dream do to you? Where are the problems of the dream? Where did they go? You can still think about it. You can tell about it. You can write books about it. Oh, this wonderful dream I had. But it can't touch you anymore because you understand it's only a dream, right? Like this. So this is when you understand, same way, just like that's a dream, I understand that the individual I take myself to be is not in essence me, in essence I'm the conscious being. What can it do to me? And that's by understanding, right? It's not, again, as we said, faith-based. If it's faith-based, it's still, there still could be question in my mind because I don't know. Faith is, I don't know, but I'll trust somebody else knows in this. So the trust gives, you know, helps me. But it doesn't give me the same conviction because when you know something, you know, you've no question. So then what's the problem? So that's why it's saying this is the most purifying thing. When I see something outside, I'm not sure what it is. It's kind of dark. Let's say we just moved to this house and I see outside, what is that thing? I look, and then, because I'm new, then I see, oh, there's a stump. I wasn't sure. I thought, is somebody wanted to break in or whatever? Okay. Now, tomorrow when I see it again, am I going to get confused, think it's a thief coming? No, I know it's a stump. You might come. What's that? Oh, don't worry, come, I'll show you. It's a tree. It's a, you know, tree trunk. Somebody cut it some years ago. That's all it is. I'll never get confused about it again because I know what it is. So that knowledge makes me never have any problem with that tree, that stump again. Whenever it happens, I'll see it, I know. So the knowledge is fixed to all the problems to do with it. So same way, the understanding of myself like this fixes everything like that. This is what it says. So, Naigyanena Sadrisham Pavitarmiha Vidyate. Nothing like this can, nothing but this. That's why Vedanta is Jnana Yoga, Jnana Yoga of understanding. And since understanding is the subtlest, other ones prepare for it. Like Raja Yoga deals with the mind, not the understanding, the intellect doesn't understand, with mind, with just thoughts not getting as much running around here and there. A little more stable, so the emotions and thoughts aren't pulling me everywhere, it's a little easier to look into things. So it's helpful for that. And then Karma Yoga helps that I have so many expectations and so much other stuff in my mind that helps to kind of purify those things, that I'm not as caught up in things. So other ones help like this to prepare the mind, set the stage in them. So this one is, so this is in the end. So again, the other things are preparatory things, but this understanding in the end most important. And then it says here, if somebody understands that, somebody who has done the preparation properly, yoga samsiddha, somebody who is prepared well in yoga, somebody who's done their pre-med can study med easily. So somebody who's done the preparation properly, pretty soon they can understand. Once somebody's really ready, one can understand something very clearly in this way. That's what this yoga samsiddha, one who has perfected, one has done the preparation well, then kalena atmani vindati, so this understanding one will find within themselves quick, pretty soon, when the preparation is there. So to understand subatomic particle physics, is it hard or easy? Which is it? For who, the question is. If we've studied enough, it'll be easy. Knowing sensor, hard or easy? Years ago, a friend of mine, Swami Ram Surupanandaji, he is no more, a monk, he visited us. I was studying some Sanskrit. He asked you Sanskrit, Swamiji, it's very difficult. He said, what makes it difficult? Your mind's making it difficult. I'm not a scholar, but I get along like this. So the thing is, it's hard, but if I study enough, oh, reading this understanding can become easy. It's not perfect. I'm not perfected. For me, it's still a little difficult. I'm not saying I'm like this, but I know some like this. So in any case, one who prepares, it's not as hard. This one boy won the spelling bee now, right? It was a tie, so they had to do like the tiebreaker. So they asked, within 90 seconds, they asked words. I listened to only one word I knew, and that's ashwagandha. Some Ayurvedic herb. No other words I've ever heard of, because I looked at the video when they did. In 90 seconds, 29 words of these crazy words. A lot of them you can hear like from German or French. I don't know how they got an English dictionary like this. So 3 seconds per word he did. The second guy got, kid, 20. Phenomenal. Now, is it difficult to spell like that? Well, this boy who won, he did 2 other times, like 200th place, 100th place. For a whole year he prepared. And when he was doing the words, he was doing like this, because obviously it's some program that he typed them in quickly. So he was thinking with his fingers. So for him, it was just a lot of practice. So there to answer those questions was easy, because once in 3 seconds meaning was easy. Of course, young mind is easier to do, no doubt. But for him to answer those were easy at that moment because he prepared like this, you know. We see some, you know, you see like sport, somebody who's really good. Well, they prepared, they worked hard at it. So the thing is, to understand something, if enough preparation's there, it's not difficult. So the question is, the self-knowledge we're talking about, is it difficult or hard? Well, it's hard. If the preparation is there, that's why it's saying, if you prepare properly, it's not going to be hard. Like this, probably lawyers pass the bar exam. Was it difficult or hard? If they prepared properly, it won't be hard. If they don't prepare properly, it'll be hard. They studied well, prepared. So that way, proper preparation. So it says here that's the issue. The proper preparation is what's needed, then it'll be clear. So that's the thing, that's what it's saying. And again, so the whole teaching here is the teaching both the preparation and the knowledge and mix. That's the nice, that's just how it is. We can say, oh, why is it like this? Well, okay, that's how it is. What can we do? We want to make, why is the system not different? Well, there's a good, the Gita gives a good system. Don't worry about why the system is like this, you know. First, you have to take some system. So if it has, go and then, you know. So in this way. So this is what it's pointing out here. And then, so kalena, with time, one will know. So on the one hand, some in commentary say, yeah, once you know, give it some time. But the others say, the swayam means immediately here. You'll know right away. If you're probably prepared, it'll be very clear, easy. In any case, it means, you know, one needs patience. There's no doubt patience is needed. But I'll tell you one thing with it is this. You know, any seer endeavor that takes a lot to look into like this. If one measures in very short periods what the difference is in what I've learned, you can't see very much, right? So if one looks after it's half a year, a year, and this looks back, then one can see. Like you're studying Gita, how long? How long?
2 years.
2 years. Any difference or no difference?
A little bit different.
A little, good, it's doing something. You look back and then you see, oh, okay, it's it. But if not, then... So actually, that's why if somebody wants to study this, I tell them, do 6 months sincerely. If it doesn't make a difference, okay, you learn something interesting, do something else. But otherwise, if you don't look into it, how are you going to know? So take some time to look into, right? Just like this, to understand. And the thing is also, question is how I'm studying as well. Because if I go to that physics class and I listen very nicely, then I take some notes, I go home, I close the notebook, I close the book, 1 week later I come back for class. Okay, now what? And I hear again, I close in this, I go home, and I don't think about physics the whole time, I don't do any exercise on this. It won't have as much an impact. That's for sure. I won't understand it. This is the same thing. Bring some points, I have to think about them. I have to study it. I have to, you know, go to the class when the teacher's starting the physics class. Oh, professor, last week you said this. I wasn't totally clear. Could you clarify it again? And it seems to conflict with this other thing you taught us a few weeks earlier. Wow, the teacher will be very happy. Yes, that's a good point. Because I didn't tell you about this theorem, blah, blah. They'll actually be even more happy because they'll see somebody's really interested. They'll want to teach more about it. So same thing here, I have to look into it. If I don't look into it, so that's also so difficult, but one has to want anything, one has to also want to learn like this. Understanding is something won't come if I don't really want to understand. So this is a thing about that also. One has to really want to look into. And I'll tell you something about it also is that that exactly what we started off with. We see the world, we see most people most of the time are not happy. That's just the matter of fact. Most people are trying to be happy and being happy but not finding the deep contentment happiness they're looking for. The majority of people. You find somebody you think they're doing very good, very happy, right? Go and spend some time with them, right? Spend some time. If they're younger, just getting into things and things are going their way, okay, that's good, but give it a few years, right? And again, it's not pessimistic, just facts, factual. You look and you ask somebody who's really doing well like this and really happy, you spend some time with them. Yes, I'm doing great. Yes, yes, no problem. After some time you're spending with them, finally, they'll say, yes, I am very happy, but, you know, my mom really isn't well. If only, you know, they would find some cure in this. But, you know, something. It's very good, but I have this great idea, I'm working, we're doing so great. But these coworker of mine that's the partner in the job, really, something isn't jiving. It's really not like this. There'll always be a but. Meaning, yes, I'm doing well, but because, again, the issue is the happiness, the contentment is being looked for in the wrong place. Like this. My happiness depends on how the garden is doing. I will never be happy because it'll be up and down. Sometimes some things will go well, some things won't. Some things will... It's impossible. So same with everything in life. It's impossible to have everything how I want, and if everything is how I want now and stays that way, tomorrow my ideas are different. And now I'm not happy because they're different from what my idea was something. But then my mind changed, not that thing changed. And now my mind isn't content with it. So what happens is how we look at life makes it, so we're looking for the contentment, but we see how most people are trying to find it, they're not finding it. So that's why that's not the smart way to look. If that was the way to look, then great, but it's obviously not the way. So to look at it differently. So this is what this is pointing out. I have to learn to look at it differently. Vedanta is pointing out, here's how you can look at it differently. You have to put the effort in. It's not like it's a dogmatic thing. Hey, if you look at it like this or forget it, you're a goner. You know, you have to, otherwise you can't go into the heaven if you don't look at it this way. But it is saying, here's how you can look at it. You look into it. You understand. It's showing you, here's how you can look into it and you understand for yourself. Not saying, if you're not part of this club, you won't get into the exclusive club, the heaven. It's not saying that. It's saying, you know, if you learn to look at it in this way, understand yourself this way, you'll free yourself from so much. And it really does work like that. It's a matter of looking into. So this is what this is saying. So that's why the understanding. Vedanta is all in the end about understanding. And the rest is the preparation, the math and whatever preparation for the physics study like that. So these are a few points on this. Now, since, you know, some study more, some less, any questions on all the stuff I'm talking about? Can bring so many questions, confusions. This and also when I explain one way, that's one reason for studying regularly so much, is it's explained and words are always limited. So it's said, but then somebody understands a little differently. So you explain a little different, you know, from a few angles. Questions will come up. Oh, yes, that's a confusion. Maybe because it wasn't explained too well. Let's explain it a little better. Like that. That's how it's done. That's why another reason for studying regularly. So any questions from all this confusive or unconfusive stuff that I brought up that anybody might have, please, you know. With these things, there's no silly question like this. If it comes up in somebody's mind, other people are thinking like that too. Does this, any of it make sense? Yeah? Huh? I'm glad at least it makes some sense. I'll tell you an interesting thing. When I used to go for class many years myself, not that I don't anymore, but regularly for class in person this, then some of the classes I felt were very confusive. No, but over time I felt, no, it was not confusive anymore. And then teaching, I would feel that some of the time, yes, I feel I was very confusive in this and this. But I feel that also kind of went away. I don't feel that it's very confusive anymore like this in any case. So, but it's an interesting thing.
One thing I wanted to reflect is obtaining this knowledge, right? How it makes things clear in the mind. And just the preparation to get there. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a lot of work, right? It's like a lifelong of work, get there. So, for me, I find just there's like constant conflict in life, right? You know, his family, and basically that balance is not there. Even when I try to reflect.
Yeah.
You know, so it's been a journey, but it's a constant conflict.
Do you feel the conflict is any less or no? Or any place, any how do I say? Any parts of it where the conflict has become less?
Why not? You know, I'm two teenagers, and then, you know, I have a pretty intense work. Maybe I'm just in a phase of my life.
Sure. Because it's a very busy time.
Yeah.
But does it get to you as much, or at least some of the time not as much?
Some of the time not as much.
What makes it not get to you as much?
I'm able to disconnect, and it's the karma yoga aspects of what we've been talking about. You know, like when my kids, you know, basically put in the efforts to help them be, you know, better, you know, better individuals and help them progress. But at the same time, I have to disassociate myself from results.
So at least you see how that can help learning to disassociate. Because of the identification. Because, you know, after some time, the kids, you know, 10, 15 years, they're gone doing their own thing, and they're going to, you know, it might be they'll call once a week or once in 2 weeks, "Hi, Dad, how are you?" And then gone with their own life, right? That's the nature. You know, some places, no, they stay with you forever in this, but there's no guarantee, right? My wife's family, where some of them stay with the parents and some of them are somewhere else, like this. So in this way. So when you see that's the expectation is there, the expectation of the kids, that's loving them, taking care, that's how one does. But the expectation, the attachment is what does it. Someone has to look at that head on. And one other thing is, you know, taking some of the points and reflecting on them, having some of the time to reflect. When I was commuting, I found that's a very good time. Listen to some of the things or meditate on some of the points, take some of the points, think about if you're too busy at other times, like this, in that way. But yeah, it's true. The busier time like this, that takes, there's no doubt that that's more trying time. You're right in the middle of it.
Right.
So it's not as easy to look into. But the thing is, you see which things help, like this there, and then try to see how those things can be increased like this. But yeah, there's nobody says that in one, how do I say, there's no exact time, we can't give a time for it. You go to college, there's many courses, then many years, get a degree and you're done, like this. But for understanding something, for deepening my understanding or ability to, or, you know, change an attitude towards something, there isn't a time factor, it's just effort that eventually comes around like this. So have to, shifting the attitude takes effort and time, there's no doubt, like that.
But it definitely helped.
That I'm happy. That was not right here. I don't think it's on the door or anything, somebody's doing something. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, but one thing also is when we look into some things you might find is when you look into these things, something you feel you're progressing, but some things you feel stuck, it's not moving like this. We have to be patient because certain things are kind of like more tight than others. I have more, that habit is rooted deeper than other ones. That's no doubt. So like this. So then one has to be patient. But what happens by looking into it slowly, slowly, it is making a difference. It is loosening things up. It's like maybe I'm unhealthy and I start to eat a healthier diet. I don't see as big a difference, but it slowly, slowly is making a difference, there's no doubt. So while we keep looking into these things, there's no doubt slowly, slowly makes a difference. Like this. So in this way. Because again, I have to take what, as you said, Arjuna's situation and the attachment expectation is the base, slowly, slowly to learn how to look at myself. Why do I have attachment expectation? Where is it taking me? Like that. So again, it takes a lot to change. Like that. But try to see, what is it that helps you to have that dropping that that expectation, that time, how that helps.
Mm.
How to do things as karma yoga.
Mm.
Like this. So this way. So we look at that, then, because the kids are there, you're helping taking care of them, and they came, they're living their life, they're doing their thing. Try, look at this one thing, this one beautiful poem. Do you know Khalil Gibran? He is a poet, not alive anymore, probably from last century in this, from Lebanon. And he wrote this one poem, just look online, you'll find it, or children. Very nice. Talking about how the children come through us. They come because they're longing for life. Like this, I remember all the details, very beautiful. That they're coming for their thing. They're of the future, we're from the past. You know, we can't go into their world, it's not open to us. Things like this. Very beautiful and very poetically written. And it really shows, because, you know, just like we came, we're living our life, doing our thing. Yes, our parents are there, we love them and this, but we're here for our life. But for the parents, it's more difficult because the parent thinks the child is there's their life, but it's, you're the caretaker. When we take it as if they're mine and I expected this, but when I'm as the caretaker, it's different, like this. So that really, nobody said it's an easy attitude to shift. The more it shifts, the more it makes it easier, like this. Because again, it's our attachment expectation, the entire identification makes the difference, like this. So this is Swami Dayananji, who's, I learned from a lot of his students. Then when people asked him, they said, you're giving us advice and this, but we're raising the kids and everything. And you don't have family or anything. This is so easy for you to do. He said, you think that way. You have two children you're raising. How many people are coming to me? How many devotees come? Hundreds and hundreds. So how much more family like I have like this? So this way. So actually, people like him really like that. So many people, and they're giving their love advice, but they're, you see his example, how they're, and then, you know, the examples are great, seeing examples like that. But they're fine. So in this way. So like this. So, any last questions or doubts or anything? A little clear, Himaja? Good, good. Because I know you came and we were going to all sorts of things that seem a little complicated. So today's class, good. We gave a little more time to give some general discussion on, which is nice. Next class, we'll continue with our more to our regular pace, because some of the regulars will be here that they're not here today. Om. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavashishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.